Conklin?
I'm present, thank you.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Judge Getty?
Here.
Judge Kelly?
Here by phone.
Judge Merrifield? Judge Siebert?
Yes.
Mr. Kim?
Here.
Ms. Levere?
Here.
Mr. Riley? Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
And Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, good afternoon, President.
Excellent, Rose. Thanks so much for taking roll. That gives us a clear quorum for what we need to conduct our business today. Just a brief reminder, if you're not speaking, please mute yourselves, and we'll take care of some routine matters this morning, including a motion to approve the minutes of the November 2nd virtual meeting that are set forth at page 3. Is that motion, somebody willing to make that motion?
I'd be happy to.
Judge Conklin.
David made the motion. Did I hear you seconding that, Judge Kelly?
Yes.
Great. Moved and seconded that the minutes of the November 2nd motion be meeting be approved. Any opposition to that motion? Hearing no opposition, those moments are unanimously approved. And Rose and or Brandy, I understand there were no public comments for the meeting?
There were not.
Great, Rose, thanks so much. And that gets us to our one and only action item today. It's a workload formula adjustment request from Santa Clara. And you all know Rebecca. Rebecca's with us today, rather than as a member of FMS, here as to answer any questions or concerns that might be put forth on this issue. To consider the recommendation, it's set forth beginning at your materials, folks, at page 7. The ultimate recommendations are at page 8 and 9, and all of the supporting material is attached in the following 172 pages. Brandy's going to present on this today. It's our only item, as I said. So, Brandy, I'll turn it over to you to at least introduce the item. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, my name is Brandy Oliveira. I am a manager with Budget Services. This report is to assist the subcommittee in considering options related to a workload formula adjustment request process, or ARP for short, and it's a submission from Santa Clara Superior Court regarding debt service obligation adjustments and how these adjustments could be reflected in the workload formula. The options provided take into consideration all debt obligation agreements that are intended to be funded with civil assessment backfill revenue that are still outstanding for trial courts. To provide some background, Santa Clara submitted the ARP in January of 2022, requesting that courts with debt service obligations intended to be funded with civil assessment revenue be adjusted due to 1, legislative and judicial council policy changes, 2, the continued decline in civil assessment revenue, 3, the decline or elimination of other revenue sources, and 4, changes in trial court reserves. At the time of the ARP submission, the workload formula included adjustments that account for net civil assessment revenue based on the current data available, and there is a formula included at the bottom of page 6 of your materials that outlines that approach in more detail. Overall, the adjustment made to the workload formula at that time reduced the amount of the workload formula calculation for all courts as compared to need, and this is done for the purpose of calculating the distribution of new funding through the workload formula model. The other technical impact to the workload formula at the time the ARP was first submitted is that in the event debt obligations funded by civil assessments exceeded the amount of revenues used in the workload formula, the court's revenue would reflect a zero value in the workload formula rather than using the actual negative revenue amount. If a negative number were to be used, it would have increased the court's need and made the court eligible for additional funding allocated through the model. So today, in response to the 2022 Budget Act item that redirected the deposit of civil assessment revenue, and along with the $110 million received to backfill civil assessment revenue losses, the process in which the workload formula utilizes civil assessment revenue and debt obligations has changed. So the methodology is outlined on page 7 and effectively excludes civil assessments from the workload formula, and it funds debt obligations for courts that entered into those agreements with the intention to fund them using civil assessment revenue up to a specified amount. So what that means is that of the four courts identified on page 8 with those specified debt obligations, Santa Clara is the only court that has a higher obligation amount than what is being covered. And this is resulting in over $2.5 million of the obligation being covered by the court's operational budget. So for in the recommendation section, there are three options, and this is beginning at page 8 at the bottom of your materials, for this subcommittee to consider in addressing the ARP submission. First is option A, which suggests a technical adjustment only to the workload formula in which Santa Clara's local revenue amount could be offset by $2.5 million, which would increase the court's need and qualify the court for additional funding that is distributed through the workload formula. This approach is not likely to fund Santa Clara's debt obligation fully, but could provide additional funding through the workload formula model for the court to put towards the obligation. Any increase to Santa Clara could result in less funding available for distribution through the workload formula model for other courts. Option B suggests increasing the amount of the civil assessment backfill funding used to pay for debt service obligations in paying up to the full $4 million amount for the court. And this approach could fund the Santa Clara debt obligation fully. And as a result, there would be less of the $100 million backfill funding for civil assessments starting next fiscal year to provide to other courts through the workload formula model. And then option C suggests a status quo approach where Santa Clara continues funding $2.5 million of the obligation from its existing base operation funding, which could impact level of services provided by the court. This approach would not have an impact on other courts. So that concludes our presentation. As Judge Conklin mentioned, Rebecca and Santa Clara folks are here to assist us in answering any questions you may have.
Brandy, thanks so much. So that now brings these recommendations to the forefront for our consideration. Candidly, even though I've been with this committee for longer than, though I've enjoyed it longer than I care to mention, there are many on this, even this subcommittee, that have even more experience in this area than I do. I'd invite them to make any comments. I guess I would just preface this discussion with, even though she no longer participates in JBBC or in TICPAC, but she's retired, Sherry Carter's constant reminder to the courts that we consider this from a statewide perspective rather than a particular court, and almost from a policy consideration. Anybody can supplement this, but I think civil assessments are a whole different world now than they were at that time. I don't think any court obtained these debt obligations for any other reason than the best of intentions, and that's significantly changed. So I think, at least from my perspective, it would be appropriate to consider steps we could take to assist those courts that legitimately obtained this debt obligation are now in a much different position to satisfy that obligation as we move through these recommendations. But I think, I don't mean to point out anybody in particular. I think David and Chad, along with Rebecca, have been through this from cradle to grave. And I don't know, David, if there's anything you wanted to add, or Chad, or any member of the committee as we move forward. David, I see you leaning forward. That's usually the sign you want to talk.
Yes, thank you very much, Judge Conklin. You are correct. We have a bit of experience in the adjustments that have been made positively as a result of the influx of additional dollars. Full disclosure, I obviously was in Santa Clara when the original plan was put together, and a lot of folks have moved on, myself included, now being in Orange. But I also think it's important to look to some of the decisions that this body and the Judicial Council have made as it relates to finding solutions that were that have become problematic as a result of reductions in funding sources that we've been relying upon. And one of the things is specifically civil assessments. Obviously, where we were, let's say, back in 2008 and where we are right now are unrecognizable, basically. We've changed the approach from a court collects the money and retains the money to a model that is a backflow of funding to support all of the court's operational needs. And many of the courts have essentially relied upon the civil assessment dollars to support some of the operational needs that they have been committed to supporting. So it's great that Judicial Council has been able to receive support by the Department of Finance and the legislature to backfill funds because of the declining revenues that courts have been really dependent upon to support operational needs. I'm really pleased that even on capital projects, the original mechanism to fund capital projects has been restored by the drop in collections and fines and fees that courts have really relied upon to fund court construction projects. So that is something that has been recognized as a need to adjust and backfill to support the operational needs of the court. And in this instance, I know the original premise was that civil assessments would be a large funding component for the Family Justice Center. That resource is no longer there for many of the things that we previously relied upon. And I think it's reasonable to look at changing the obligation that Santa Clara has had to support this debt service obligation because of the changes that have taken place as it relates to civil assessments. I know that originally it was premised on the notion that that court would be able to support funding the debt service as it relates to this particular project, because back then things were much different than they certainly are right now. And I'm glad that we've collectively been able to restore some of the drop in the civil assessment fundings to help everybody. And I think this is yet another situation where I think it's appropriate for us to consider restoring or backfilling this obligation using some of the money, because the facility itself was desperately needed. The fact that one fact that people may not be aware of is a debt service payment is inclusive of a county facility payment that the county of Santa Clara is obligated to provide in perpetuity to help pay for this debt service. Many of you are aware that counties are obligated to support county facility payments as a result, as it relates to the transfer agreements that have taken place in lieu of paying the leases for those facilities and moving the operations into the Santa Clara Justice Center. That county facility payment is used towards the debt service. And when that debt service is completed, which is, I guess, presumed to be in 2040 something, that $3.3 million goes directly into the statewide pot to support facilities maintenance projects. And that is a shift in funding in perpetuity away from this debt service project. And that, again, is not for the benefit of Santa Clara, but rather the benefit of all of the court facilities that require funding to support the maintenance of the building. So one last note that I would make is that our mission in the years past was to try to get us to as close to fully being funded statewide, and we've made market improvements and benefits to everybody, being above the 91-92% funding level. And by reducing the amount of money that Santa Clara specifically has available to support its workload needs, I think we deviate from that mission that we've had to fully restore funding to all the courts so that the workload needs can be met. And I think it seems reasonable to consider some of the recommendations that were included in the materials, either one or two. I think more discussion will be provided for this meeting, but I do think that it is reasonable to consider the request that has been submitted by Santa Clara.
Thanks very much, David. And I know Brandon, Mr. Riley's joined us, so we'll show that he's present for the meeting. Chad, I mentioned your name only because of the heritage you have with this issue, but if you want to add anything else, feel free, or if anybody else has any comments on the issue.
Well, thanks, Judge. David is a hard act to follow because he has a vast array of knowledge, and he said in a much more eloquent way what I would have said. I think the only thing I would just add is, you know, we as a branch, I think, made sort of the policy decision a couple of years ago that we wanted to get away from the old model of, you know, we handle our collections and we retain our civil assessments on a one-to-one basis and do with them what they want. We decided we needed to get out of that business. And it feels to me that we took a giant step in that direction. And this request is just getting our last toe over the line. You know, it's this last vestige of the old model, it seems to me, that still lingers. So I agree with David. I mean, I would support, in some fashion, using some of the money to cover that debt services obligation.
Great, Chad. Thank you.
This is Judge Siebert. I don't never have, know how to raise my hand, so I'm sorry to just jump in, but I don't know how.
That's fine.
In the original presentation on today, a statement was made, and I'm not saying I'm directly quoting it, but I'm pretty close, that intended to be paid through civil assessment, meaning that the debt service was, when they entered into it, people who made the decision to do so intended it to be paid through civil assessments. Did I understand that correctly? That, in other words, when they're making a decision about what to do with their money and making future obligations like debt service, they were saying, well, one source of paying that would be the civil assessments, and we think that's, and they made a decision based on that, as assuming that was going to go forward, or at least as long as the debt service was in play. Am I understanding that correctly?
Judge Siebert, I was there, so I think I can speak to that. The answer to your question is yes. And at the time, just by way of comparison, the amount of civil assessment that court was collecting was in excess of $9 million. And there was a belief that, or somewhere near that amount, if not nine, certainly an amount of money that would be able to support that debt service would be achievable through the civil assessment collections. And today, perhaps it is below 4 million. I don't know what I'm not familiar with the amount of money that is being collected today, but it is nowhere near that
Rebecca,
level.
You're trying to talk, but we can't hear you muted.
Still muted.
I see her talking, but there she is. You're unmuted, Rebecca.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a few hundred thousand. That's it.
So it's essentially non-existent.
Right.
Well, but I guess the question is, if it's only a few hundred thousand, is that because, in other words, what was it, what was Santa Clara, for example, collecting before we made this gigantic change to not being able to keep our own civil assessments? How much was it down to at that point, at the time when this change was made?
Well, I think, Judge Siebert, you're talking about like a year ago, because the decision that was made to distribute the civil assessment revenues goes through the funding formula as it relates to monies in excess of the maintenance of effort obligation, I think $48 million.
Right.
So that it has been declining ever since, I'm going to say, 5 years ago, when changes have been made to policies related to whether how much a court or how much a court can impose on individuals who fail to pay or fail to appear in court. So like all of us, the civil assessments have been declining for many, many years. And it became very evident that it was going to be a struggle for courts to meet the obligations. And I'm not just talking about debt service, I'm talking about staff, things of that sort. So yes, maybe I've given you a little more information that you were seeking, but it has been declining year after year after year as a result of changes in administration policies.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that explanation, David. I guess what I'm getting, and the reason I asked that question is, I mean, it's one thing if you go into an obligation thinking I'm going to be bringing in $9 million a year, and then it decreases, and so you know that's sort of the consequence of the decision about that funding source, right? That can change not because of any policy change, just because there's not as much money coming in. So that's one issue that I would assume everyone knew was a possibility. Maybe didn't think about it very hard in terms of the probability, but a possibility that that funding source that was expected would diminish over time, and then there would have to be something done about that. That's a different concept for me anyway from, I was up until we made this change getting X, and now I'm not getting X, and saying we'd like to have some adjustment made for X, but X is what it was around the time of the change, not X is the amount it was that it was expected 10 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever when the decision was made. That's what I'm trying to get at. And I think, at least from what I'm hearing, it sounds like that I'm not misunderstanding, that there was a time when everybody's expecting that there'd be a lot of money rolling in on the civil assessments and hoping that would be the case, knowing that there was a possibility it would diminish over time, but it would still be adequate, versus, now we don't get it at all. And those, to me, are two quite different things. Living with the decision and the diminished amounts because of just diminishing civil assessments because of filings, versus whatever I was getting, I don't get anymore. That's the distinction that it seems an important distinction to me. So,
all right. Thank you. I saw Chad's hand up and then Rebecca's hand up. Chad?
Yeah. So Judge Siebert, I don't know if this helps or not. This is just speaking only for Alameda. And I don't know if Santa Clara is in this position, but we are a significantly overfunded court. We were also a very high collector. And so when the policy decision was made that instead of even during the pandemic, we were bringing in about 5 to 6 million a year in collections. And when we made the policy decision to not keep the money and instead route it through the workload formula, because we're a high collector, we now that 5 to 6 million, we now get a little less than a million each year through the workload model. So that I think is different than, well, just collections have been declining year over year. I mean, it was just sort of a fundamental change. And I think it's a good one because we didn't want to be in the business of collections anymore for a variety of reasons. But that kind of goes to the point I was saying earlier, which is if we're going to get out of the business of collections, I think we should also be out of the business of having debts that were going to be funded by those collections. It's hard for me to see how we can have both.
I just wanted to kind of give some context around the timing of all of this. And so when I first arrived in Santa Clara, you know, David and I actually worked this problem together, even though he had moved to Orange, because the civil assessments were already declining. And so to your point, yes, we saw some decline right away. However, Santa Clara approached the Judicial Council with the effort of trying to maintain some type of structure to be able to meet that debt obligation, keeping in mind there wasn't the backfill for civil assessment obligations at that time. And from literally every year since I've been there, and I just completed my sixth year there, we have had to have conversations about how to meet that obligation because more and more of the funding disappeared through the legislative changes and the other structural changes around the backfill. You might notice that our request to actually address this came before the backfill. And so our original letter was from January of last year. This is an almost an 18-month old request. And so we have been trying to kind of right the ship for a very long time. And but for one of the clauses that were changed as part of that effort to meet that obligation, we would have had the entire amount addressed with the backfill. But in one of the adjustments, the civil assessment amount was reduced because our funding was reduced. And so it was then allocated to our general fund. And, you know, frankly, I could make the argument that the general fund was never intended to fund facilities. You know, that's not what it's for. There's a Rule 810 around that. But nevertheless, I think what Santa Clara is trying to kind of flesh out is that we have talked about consistency in how we deal with various approaches to facilities and other obligations, and this is the last one standing. We were very transparent about this being an open item when we first put forward a budget change proposal. I think it was now 3 years ago around the MOU and backfill before we had ever received it. And so we've been trying to have this conversation, and you'll see that our presentations, even to the Real Estate Policies Subcommittee of the Council, go back more than a year. And so I just want to give that perspective in that. This is not something that just popped up this year or as a result of the backfill. If anything, this was in, you know, this conversation was in motion before the backfill happened. So I just would like to offer that perspective.
Thanks, Rebecca. I don't see, I want to make sure as I look, I don't see any other hands up.
See Neil and Chad's hand still up.
Okay, so Krista, I'll go to you and then to Neil, just because that's the order I saw. Krista?
Thank you. I just have a question, and maybe I'm missing something, but I think Rebecca alluded to it. It seems to me like we have already made this decision that, you know, the debt obligations are to be funded. So I'm missing why they weren't, you know, why is it only partially excluded? You know, it looks that decision seems to me to have already been made, and maybe Rebecca, you were alluding to that, but
I had a similar question. I thought when last year when we were dealing with the allocation of the backfill, when it actually came down, that there was a carve out for these debt service, so that no one was going to be left out, so that the amount that was distributed by workload formula was net of the debt service. So I'm not sure how this relates to that, or whether there's a gap in there that we have to address.
Rebecca, is that because that piece of it is funded through TCTF instead of civil assessments?
Correct. And that was only as of a change that happened in 2017, right after I arrived. But for the civil assessment drop, that language would not have been redistributing the obligation. Yeah.
Thanks for that clarification.
Okay. Thank you.
So that, James, Neil, did that take care of your comment as well?
So is this in addition to that carve-out?
I think it was not included in the initial carve out, and I came away with the same impression that I thought this was included originally, but you know, just as Krista had mentioned and Neil, I was a little bit surprised that the item had come forward with the detail that was included. So anyway, maybe I should have been tracking it a little bit more closely, but anyway. I think it's been stated.
So I don't see, I want to make sure I haven't left anybody out. Is there I don't want to stifle discussion. Is there between recommendations A, B, and C, is there a motion or a focus?
Can I ask a question, Judge Conklin? There's a subtle difference between recommendation A and recommendation B.
Well, A's on paper, B pays them.
Oh, okay. So do you, yeah. in order to...
And he doesn't support, get him any money.
Right. But in order to support, I think, achieving the objective that I certainly have been kind of suggesting, would you need to approve recommendations A and B, or is it just B?
I think it's just B, but again, as I've professed, I'm not the expert here, and I don't want to get us back in the same position we are now, where we have to come back another 6 months and say, oh, we have to yes. correct it once again. Brandy?
Yeah, so B would use our civil assessment backfill funding and fund the Santa Clara debt obligation, the full $4 million amount.
And right now it's
remaining
one point...
funds would be distributed through the workload formula model.
So if I'm doing the math right, right now it's 1.5, theirs was 4, so it'd be in, we'd have to cover another 2.5.
Correct. Right.
Okay, so it's not 4, it's 2.5. And Krista, did you have your hand back up again?
No, thank you.
Okay.
So with that in mind, Judge Conklin, I would, and one notation I would make is the last sentence of the first paragraph reads, to cover more of the cost of the court's debt service obligation, wholly or in part. The monies are not going to inure to the benefit of Santa Clara. It's strictly to fulfill the debt service obligation as relates to this project. And I think that's a really important notation. So based on the discussion that we've had thus far, I would move approval for recommendation B as contained in the materials that have been provided.
And I'm sorry, Judge Getty, yours is the hand I missed. Did you have, and David, so we're, I'm careful. David's made the motion, but I don't want to, Judge Getty, did you want to say something before I invite a second?
I did, and I apologize, because I am probably not as good at the hand thing as I should be, but.
No, it's me.
I know there's a motion on the floor, so I respect the process. And I guess I could wait for us to have a discussion. I'm rusty on my Robert's Rules of Order. Part of it, so number one, I'm definitely in favor of fulfilling the intent of when you previously adopted a carve out to service the bond, and we all want to make sure that none of our sister courts fail to meet their obligations. But I know that there were courts that were very good at their civil assessment collection, even small amounts. Ours was one of them, and we were not able to do a lot of the things we're going to want to do. Are we aware how many other folks are going to see exceptions like this and have an issue?
My understanding is none, but let's have Brandy clarify that.
But yes, that's correct. It's down, Judge Getty, to these four courts that are included in the materials. And because of the new change in civil assessments with the 2022 Budget Act, we don't anticipate other courts entering into those types of agreements in the future.
And we can distinguish this because the original intent back when the methodology was established was to do the carve out to service the obligations. It's just somehow the nuanced numbers didn't necessarily, were not necessarily captured. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes. David, it looks like you were going to, sorry.
No, I was going to agree.
Okay.
Okay, so with that comment, I just trying was your so now there is a motion pending. Before I invite additional discussion, is there a second to that motion?
This is Judge Kelly. I'll second the motion.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded that recommendation B. Now, recommendation B says the $1.5 million currently funded from the civil assessment backfill could be increased to $4 million or a lesser amount. David, I interpreted your motion to be the full $4 million.
Correct.
All right, and Judge Kelly, that's your intended second?
Yes.
And I believe the $4 million is to satisfy the debt service obligation.
Right.
So it's so not it $5 million, it's whatever the obligation happens to be.
Right. It would be a net of approximately $2.5 million at this point.
That's the intent of my motion.
All right. It's been moved and seconded for recommendation B with that clarification. Before I invite a vote, are there any additional comments or concerns? All right. I hear none. I see none. I'm not the most adept at looking at raised hands. I want to make sure I haven't left anybody out. So my typical practice here, given the Zoom format, is rather than ask for all approval when you can't tell people are approving or not, is to go just the opposite. So I don't mean to point anybody out, but is there any opposition to the motion that we adopt? And what would happen, folks, is this would then go to full tick back very quickly. Tick back would then send it to JBBC very quickly, which would then send it to the council for the May meeting, if at all possible. That's the timing. So with that, is there any opposition to the motion pending before our subcommittee? I see no hands. I hear no opposition. So I'm going to deem the motion unanimously approved.
Judge Conklin, you didn't ask, and I know that you probably don't normally, but I'm going to abstain on this one. I don't actually feel like I have a complete understanding of what I'm voting on. So on the basis of that lack of complete understanding, I'm not opposed to it. I just don't feel like I don't think I could explain to someone exactly what I'm doing. So given that lack of understanding, I'm going to abstain.
Judge Seward, that's my challenge every day. So I understand your abstention. And I should have invited that. Any other abstentions? So hearing none, I'll modify the chair's finding to be the motion was unanimously approved with one abstention from a member. All right. And then I really appreciate everybody coming together so quickly on this. Brandy, I talked about the timing, but do you know specifically now what it is? Or Rose, I'm sorry, whichever one of you would give us that.
I'm going to give Rose a second, but to help her out, it is her first meeting. We're going.
You're welcome, Rose.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're planned for Tick Back on April 6th, followed by JBBC on April 14th.
Great. Okay, and Rose, and thanks. I know you were about to say that, so I'm just so used to turning to Brandy that that's where I turn, but Rose is a central element of this team and will be with us for future meetings. Fran's with us as well. We thank her for that. If there's nothing else to come before us, we're a little bit before our 1 o'clock time, which maybe we'll give you folks a chance to grab a quick bite before you get back to your afternoon. I thank everybody for coming on board so quickly. Rebecca, thank you very much for being present for technical questions. That was of great assistance to us.
Thank you very much.
Rose, Brandy, anything else I need to address? Okay, that takes care of it, folks. Be safe as the storms move out, I think. And I'll look forward to seeing you at the Tick Back meeting. Thank you all. Be well.
Thank you.
Go Dodgers. Bye-bye.